Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
The Masters is back, and this week DraftKings has given you 100-1 odds on the golfer if you're choosing to finish in the top 10. If you haven't tried DraftKings, go download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 if the golfer if you're choosing finishes in the top 10. That's code FANRUN in all caps to turn $1 into $100 for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Fox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio, and we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive, and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Fan Run Studios, John Reed, Hayden Wall, and Draven Fine. Cam will be here in hour two as he's getting chipped up, vaccinated. I assume he's well. Hayden, you got your Nationals gear on, you're ready to go. Opening day for you in baseball. I assume you got two thumbs up.
Yes.
Draven, you good?
Oh, yeah. Doing good. Another nice day out there.
Yeah, it's a beautiful week all week.
Let's go.
It's a beautiful week all week. We are now, I guess, officially in Masters Week as the college basketball season comes to an end as Baylor bullied Gonzaga all night. Kind of like me and Draven thought they would.
Did you?
I picked Baylor.
Okay.
I said I like. Right. I said I
That's
picked
what
Baylor.
I thought. Just wanted to make sure. Just want to make sure.
I mean, I would give you credit for being more confident in it, but I said I'm leaning Baylor. It seemed like Gonzaga was just kind of a mix of out of gas emotionally after winning a hard-fought overtime buzzer-beater game mixed in with Baylor. Was on a mission. Baylor hadn't been tested. Baylor was fresh. Baylor had been dominating everybody. And they came out and from the get-go just bullied Gonzaga. You knew they were in trouble when Gonzaga went scoreless to open the game for a couple minutes and had 6 points 6 minutes into the game. Baylor ran away with it.
Jumped out to that 9-0 lead. That was the biggest deficit of the tournament for Gonzaga. It was right there in the first, was 4 minutes of the game?
Well, I was surprised it was even 9 points. I figured the biggest deficit would be like four.
Yeah.
I didn't think they had trouble by more than four the entire tournament.
Right.
But I guess UCLA had them down seven, so I guess that makes sense. But I thought about it for a second. But, yep. Butler, Teague lead the way, 41 combined points. As, Suggs came to play, he had his 22. Timmy out there doing his little mustache dance while being down 15 points. That was a weird decision by him. Kispert got the double figures, 2-for-7 from three, didn't shoot very well. And those were the only three Gonzaga players in double figures. As Baylor got some bench production, bullied them.
Their defense, man. I've never seen a defense harass a talented offensive team like that. Like, my goodness. I mean, there's times Gonzaga just couldn't even do anything with it. Like, they couldn't even pass. They couldn't do anything. That was just Davion Mitchell, man. Oh, my goodness.
Well, it came down to who had more dogs, I feel like.
Yeah.
Baylor had a team full of dogs.
And they just came out focused. I mean, just drilling shots right from the get-go. You could tell that just the start just kind of carried them, just building that momentum.
They bullied them from the get-go.
Yep.
17 years. 17 years it took Scott Drew to get him a national championship. They had clips from his opening press conference.
Yep.
Where he's talking about how they can get there. Says, hey, I'm not just trying to get to the tournament. I'm trying to win some tournament games, and I do think eventually we can compete for a national championship.
It took a minute. It took a few years, quite a few years.
I would say he built him into a relative power. You know, I mean, they were top 10 in the country by, you know, year 8 or so, which, again, mm-hmm. still took a little bit.
They did say, like, he had, what, 21 wins in his first, like, 3 seasons. They said it was pretty brutal his first few years.
Well, yeah, I mean, but if you think about where they were coming from.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
They're coming off of a murder. Are you familiar with the Baylor murder scandal? Were you guys, either one of you, remember that at all? Like, were you aware of it?
I've heard of it, but I don't really know the details kind of surrounding it.
Yeah, I just remember it was covered extensively when, you know, when it broke in 2003. So, I mean, I knew it was a big deal. I mean, that's what I thought of as Baylor. I mean, I knew their football team was terrible. I knew their basketball team. They had teammates literally murder and go to prison for 35 years. And, like, broke out just because of, like, basically, you know, drug use and improper payments to players. And they didn't have another winning season until 2008. Like, you know, they basically got a death penalty. It wasn't, say, you know, a death penalty, but it was what they said was the strongest in basketball outside of that. So they got, you know, obviously under Dave Bliss, they got hammered. And to see Baylor, because again, yeah, it was hard for Drew. You know, his first 4 years, 8-21. 9-19, 4-13. I don't know why they only played 17 games in 2006. That seems weird. 15-16, 21-11. They finally broke through, made the tournament in 2008. And then from that point on, you know, they were a pretty consistent tournament team. Since they got in 2008, he's only missed a tournament four times. And he's turned them into a pretty respectable program. You know, they peaked at number one in the country in 2017. Got to number 3 in 2012. Was top 5 last year. I mean, they would have had a chance to do this last year. We might have got this championship last year had they played.
Yeah.
The actual tournament. That might have happened. Like, both these programs came in as, you know, co-favorites, basically, right? Weren't these, like, the two co-favorites in terms of the national championship odds?
Yeah. Yeah, this year, yeah.
And they were preseason 1 and 2, right?
Yeah. Gonzaga's 1 all the way through.
Right. I mean, I thought Baylor was preseason 2 as well.
Because yeah, they were preseason 2, but I don't think they kept 2 the whole time. I think Michigan jumped them at one point.
Yeah, I think you're right, especially after Baylor took their first loss, maybe. But either way, these were the two best teams in the offseason. These were the two best teams all year. And you got there, and it was a clash of styles, and the gritty, tough guys that play good defense and also shot the game of their life won. Because, let's face it, Baylor shot their lights out.
Yep.
They end up shooting only 43.5% from 3, but at one point it felt a lot higher. It felt like 70%.
It is crazy. Like, they shot 44%. Felt like they shot 60. Gonzaga still ended up with 70 points. Felt like they got dominated, like, the whole game. Felt like they couldn't score the whole game.
Yep. Well, I mean, that just goes into the possession thing. When you're giving up Baylor, letting them score 86, 70 don't seem so good after that. I thought, you know, at the end of the first half, when Gonzaga had gotten it back down to 10, I was like, okay, they got a chance to settle in. But then just Baylor came back out and blitzed them again to open the second half.
That huge block by Vital. They came back down and hit a 3, and then it was timeout Gonzaga. That was huge because it was like, I believe they cut it to 9, I want to say. And then Baylor went right back up by 14. And it was pretty much done at that point.
So Mark Few continues to have to wait. Although I will say, like, I'm happy for Scott Drew. I don't know if I would say that Baylor program deserves it, but, you know, they've paid for their sins. They cleaned house. Now, on the basketball side, you know, it does still feel a little icky that, you know, the football program still had all that stuff going on. On top of the murder stuff that the basketball program had, you know, a decade prior. But good for Baylor. Good for Scott Drew. And now, you know, Baylor and Gonzaga are the top two title favorites next year. I don't know if these guys are just going to reload. I don't know how that works with Baylor. Like, I know they've been pretty good. I'd be surprised if they were back at a championship level, but they don't really draft the pro prospects. Like, their best player is like 23, right?
Jared Butler?
Is that their best player? Is he the one I thought was Mitchell? Is Mitchell not 23?
I don't know. I don't know what he is. I think Butler's the best player, though.
Okay.
He was the most outstanding player.
Okay.
I believe Davion Mitchell is a junior.
Davion Mitchell's 22.
Wow.
they get the older guys that, you know, they don't really do it with one-and-done freshmen. They just have some old guys that will get after you.
I kind of think Davion Mitchell could play in the NBA, wouldn't you? Just the on-ball defense harassing people, and he can shoot pretty decent.
Yeah, Butler's only 20. Mitchell's 22, will be 23 by the time the draft comes around, or basically by the time the next season starts. So they're talking about him as a draft prospect. Like, he's worked his way in to conversation, but like, he's older. But I mean, he's good. It's just whatever you're going to draft him at. Like, I don't know how much higher his ceiling is. People have searched a lot whether or not him and Donovan are related, because
they look alike, same number. Yeah. They almost like play Bunch alike.
Yeah,
they like the play is so similar. Defense, yeah. Harassing, kind of athletic, gets in the lane.
But they're not. They're not related.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, those are going to be the two title favorites next year. With Gonzaga, you know, you'll lose Suggs, you'll lose Kispert. Although people are trying to act like Suggs might not go pro. Suggs is going pro. Like, he's a top three pick.
Yeah.
He's going pro. He'll be out of there.
Is the big man in any mock drafts or no?
Nah.
He'll be back probably.
Yeah, he'll be back. Which maybe he – well, I don't know. What year is he? I mean, I guess this year of eligibility doesn't matter.
Yeah. I have no clue what he is.
Well, they want Walker Kessler. They want Chet Holmgren. How many damn big men they want? But, yeah, I mean, they're not going to run Timmy off, I wouldn't think, but
– he's only a sophomore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
And Gonzaga will be back. I mean, Gonzaga – they're smart to be title favorites because, I mean, you pretty much can lock them into a top two seed next year. Like, I would be shocked if they were lower than a two seed. Like, it's hard to have the season from hell when you play in that conference, right? Like, when you're that good and you play in that conference, like, Gonzaga, well, unfortunately for them, all of the next regular season won't matter because you couldn't have had a better regular season than you had this year, and you still have to prove it. And you made it to the championship. I mean, you're a legit team, but... You know, we knew that Baylor and Gonzaga were the two best teams, and the Power Five team with better athletes just came and punked you.
That game last night reminded me so much like the Super Bowl from this year.
Of the Super Bowl?
Yeah. Just having like the more physical, tougher team just pretty much manhandled the team that was scoring a lot of points and was the favorite the whole year.
Now, I like that comparison. I saw our former colleague Trey Wallace compare it to Tennessee's SEC championship against against Auburn after you beat Kentucky. You have that, you know, miraculous win. You're on such a high, and then you turn around and then you just get out physical and just get boat raced by a team that was hungrier and wanted it more and was fresher, ready to go.
Yeah, probably should have looked into that more. Where they played really late on Saturday night. What they play? That game finished like close to midnight.
I don't think that was the issue. I think emotionally, maybe. I don't think the fatigue of playing late, Hayden, mattered. I think that just the buzzer beater and just being tested. And quite frankly, I just think Gonzaga was tougher. I mean, I think they could play next week and that it had the same problems. I think if you gave them a week off and then you put Baylor against Gonzaga, Baylor's still going to be faster and stronger.
Yeah. I was just saying the fact that Baylor pretty much coasted that whole game. They were up like 10, 15 points the entire game against Houston. Well,
that was the way they did the entire tournament. I mean, they won by 15 points every game. They weren't tested at all. And I know Gonzaga wasn't really either until UCLA, but, you know, Baylor just beat the hell out of everybody. So, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, like, I do think that goes into the fatigue, sure. If they played a seven-game series with a week, you know, if they played like an NBA final series, I think Gonzaga would win a couple. Gonzaga wouldn't shoot so poorly every night. But, you know, I just think Baylor gave them matchup problems. Which is easy to say now that we see that they, you know, beat them by 16.
Mm-hmm.
The under didn't come in. The under came in, though, right? Didn't get to 160?
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if you told me Baylor was going to score 86, I wouldn't have felt good about it.
Right.
We got an update from Rivals Dan. We're talking about, you know, Timmy. Timmy. Rivals Dan says that for Walker Kessler, five-star transfer from North Carolina, says it's Auburn, Gonzaga, Michigan, Kentucky and Tennessee are the five in the mix. So we'll see if Gonzaga.
Gonzaga wouldn't make sense because of him, and also Michigan wouldn't really make sense either, right, with Dickerson?
Because they're a big man?
Yeah. He's 7 foot, too. Yeah.
I mean, it'd be nice to have two, but you have your Kessler, like, and you're transferring from North Carolina, I assume because of playing time. You would think, like, if you're looking for opportunity, and I imagine Kentucky's got some big guys, too.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Like, I mean, it does feel like, I mean, Auburn, I guess, I don't know. I don't know if you can keep up with their pace of how fast they play. I mean, you would think Tennessee would want to showcase the big man almost as much as anybody.
You can't run 2 7-footers after watching. I mean, look what Baylor did. They would have like one big out there, and they'd space it with four guys who could somewhat handle the ball, and they were, I mean, blowing by Timme all the whole game.
Oh, yeah, with Gonzaga, like with Timme and Kessler, that'd be a mess. I was going to say you could play like Kessler and Timme with you know, the homegrown guy just because you put him on the perimeter as a power forward. But, yeah, I mean, like if you're looking for a best case situation for him, you would think Tennessee would be in the mix there or be in the lead there.
Yeah.
Barnes will dump the ball into the post for you. Put a bow on the 2020-2021 college basketball season. It's over. One shining moment. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Oh, yes. I spoke too soon. I spoke too soon yesterday about rock bottom.
Oh, no. What do we got?
Ray County Sheriff's Department. You guys know where Ray County is? It's down sort of kind of in my neck of the woods a little bit. Ray County Sheriff's Department. Say deputies discovered a little more than 11 pounds of meth and more than 2 pounds of fentanyl at a storage unit in Spring City. And in the mugshot, the arrested man has a power T tattooed right on his cheek.
Does the tattoo at least look good on him? Like, does it fit his face pretty well or no?
It seems like if he's listening, I don't mean to offend him.
I'm sure he don't care.
Seems like he's got some bigger things to worry about. Yeah. Although on the chest, it does seem like that eagle. Isn't there that eagle that they say is kind of like related to the Nazi party? Isn't that a thing now? Isn't there a big eagle thing?
Like a chest tattoo?
Yeah.
I haven't heard that. I don't.
I thought the eagle has something to do with the Nazi party as well.
Let's see.
Like in Nazi Germany?
So the symbols, I don't know about like in Nazi Germany, but just like in the Nazi party, like that's up to date.
Oh.
Because I feel like there was a whole thing, like conspiracies, and like whenever the Republicans are doing their presidential stuff, like they had like the eagle letterhead on it, and someone was trying to relate it to the Nazi thing with the eagles, and their side-by-side pictures, so like, I don't know why else he'd have this. It seems like, what I was trying to say, though, is it seems as if he's got a lot of prison tattoos. It seems as if the power T was done in prison. Needless to say.
It doesn't look great.
Needless to say, it does not look like a professional.
Yeah.
But it seems I spoke a little too soon on the whole Tennessee. Have you found anything about the eagle?
Yeah, yeah.
Is there an eagle thing?
I mean, it doesn't have anything with the Nazi party, but it does say it's a symbol of power.
White supremacy, maybe?
Yeah, I think that's what it's kind of leaning towards. Because it keeps talking about power, strength, and victory. Victory over evil, blah, blah, blah. So.
Okay. Check the extreme right wing symbols with that coming on there. How much time do I have to scroll this? Not seeing the eagle so far. Probably gonna put on a list here.
Maybe he just
The eagle right here.
Oh, really?
The Nazi party began to use the symbol in the 1930s to represent the power and strength of the party. Right here. It's the same eagle on his chest. Have you seen the eagle on his chest?
I have not. That's the
you
one.
You see the eagle?
Yeah, I see it.
Let me go here. That's the same eagle right there.
That is. Yeah. Definitely the same eagle.
Yeah.
Yikes. Huh.
Yeah. So I spoke too soon about the whole Tennessee football being at rock bottom thing.
How many pounds are we talking again? What'd you say? 11?
11 pounds of meth.
My goodness.
I mean, you can't make this stuff up. £11 of meth. And 2 pounds of fentanyl. My God, he's going to try to kill how many people?
A lot. I feel like that's a lot. He had it in the storage unit?
Yep.
Oh, boy.
So we got that going for us.
Go Vols.
And he just has to have the damn power T tattooed on him, right?
Right on the cheek.
A power T on his cheek. And a Nazi eagle on his chest. Oh, well, there we go. Fantastic. Good stuff.
Where else do you hear these kind of stories, John?
I don't know. I was thinking about that. Like, I don't know. Am I just not following enough? Like, because I don't follow like any, you know, college football fan bases. Obviously, like, I'm not immersed in any other fan bases. I follow some SEC writers, but even that, I'm probably lacking on, just because I feel like the biggest stuff I'll see, it'll go national, and I'll see.
Right.
I follow like Peter Burns and, you know, what's his name, Barrett Salee. Mm-hmm. I'll follow those two guys, SEC Mike. So a couple SEC guys that will usually find those stories. I haven't seen the type of stories that we've been dealing with the last couple of years. I haven't seen it be this way anywhere else. Now, sure, like, I know other fan bases will have some unfortunate tattoos. That'll happen. Mm-hmm. Alabama still has to deal with that, I would imagine. You could easily put, like, the Alabama A in place of the power T, and you wouldn't blink an eye on this guy. But it's not an Alabama A. It's power T. It's power T. I spoke too soon about rock bottom. I would like to decree that this is officially rock bottom.
11 pounds of meth. That's rock bottom.
2 pounds of fentanyl, the Nazi eagle on his chest, like, it's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. My goodness. At what point do you think Josh Heupel got buyer's remorse here? Do you think it's set in yet? Do you think he's like, man, what am I doing? Do you think the check is just like, you know, we doubled his salary, right? Basically, didn't he go from $2 to $4 million? Isn't that basically what he went to?
Yeah.
I believe so.
You think he's like, hey, it's hazard pay. It's cost of doing business. I knew, you know, Danny warned me things weren't necessarily up to par. I want to know what Danny White thinks. Because Danny White's got it tougher than Josh Heupel, in my opinion, because Danny White hired Josh Heupel. Like, Josh Heupel... I think if Josh Heupel fails here, it won't be from a lack of effort. Is that fair to say about him? Like, I do feel like he is going to try.
Yeah, I agree.
Hey, and you're making a face. You don't think so? He seems professional.
He seems like he's giving absolutely zero effort on the recruiting trail right now.
Well,
so.
The results aren't coming there, so maybe recruiting. But I mean, like, in terms of him wanting to be successful here, like, he might.
He wants to. You could want to win. I mean,
well, I'm not saying he's going to win, Hayden. I don't think he's going to win. I'm saying, like, I feel like he. Is who he is. Let's rephrase it that way. Josh Heupel is going to be Josh Heupel here. It's not like Josh Heupel is recruiting at UCF either. Right? It's not like he went from dynamic recruiter, got paid, he's like, ah, I'm done recruiting now. He is who he is. He's going to coach offense. He's going to try to coach quarterbacks and try to win with guys he's going to, you know, guys he has on campus. Maybe he'll have some assists to try to recruit. But we knew Josh Heupel wasn't going to recruit here. We knew that. You know, he's putting to the test the theory that anybody with a pulse can recruit here because, again, no commitments right now. But, like, Josh Heupel is who Josh Heupel is. I think Josh Heupel will be the same coach at Tennessee as he was at UCF. I don't think he's going to get here and try less. Danny White knew who Josh Heupel was, is what I'm getting at. He knew his limitations, he knew his strengths, and he hired him here. So... I think Danny White's under a lot more pressure than Josh Heupel is. Now, you know, I understand Josh Heupel will be the guy, the face on the sidelines. He'll be the one getting criticized after calls and everything. But I think I'm going to hold Josh Heupel to a lower standard than Danny White because Danny White hired him. I wonder at what point did Danny White get here and say, I've made a big mistake. Maybe he has it yet. Maybe he's like, hey, football is such in shambles. Like, we can only go up. And two, you know, to be fair to them, so far most of the bad stuff is coming from Jeremy Pruitt's regime still.
That's true.
So now you could go up. You could build this back. Now, I don't know, again, if you hire the right guy to do that. Time will tell. They're really putting to the test, though, Draven, the whole does more money equal more happiness thing. We were down at Disney World, man. We're in the happiest place on Earth.
No pressure.
Our kids got to go ride Space Mountain whenever they wanted to, or at least it's a wonderful world.
Mm-hmm.
Life.
It's a wonderful life, yeah. I was nervous about that after I said it. I'm not a Disney guy, but thank you. I feel like I should have known that one, though.
They got free tickets to Disney World, too, didn't they? Or was that just the students?
I'm sure Danny had it worked out where the coaches and admins got to go for free, too. I'm sure he wet the beak a little bit.
Probably just afford it either way.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Disney's pretty expensive.
It is.
You start taking a family.
If you get a year pass, though.
How much a year pass for a family of four cost at Disney? Probably $1,000.
Yeah, I'd say at least. But I mean, it'd pay for itself if you went twice.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You're already in town.
Sure.
So.
I was just curious. I figured it'd be about $1,000 for the all pass park at least.
It is. It says roughly $1,300.
Okay.
Yep.
So, yeah, you could afford that. Now you start adding in all the concessions and stuff.
It adds up.
Starting to really add up. But maybe with some of those passes, you get unlimited food and drinks, right? Or at least discounted food and drinks. I don't think they give it unlimited, right?
Just discounts. I don't think so.
You get season ticket member prices.
Could get like a little meal plan going. They have those.
We got Dolly World, John. What are you talking about?
What?
We have Dolly World.
Dolly what?
Dollywood. Oh, what am I saying?
You're an East Tennessee boy, too.
I know.
If Cam made that mistake, I'd have had to let him slack. He's from Georgia, although he's been here long enough.
Dolly World.
You watched like National Lampoon's Vacation recently? Like, did you combine Wally World with Dolly World?
I don't know how I made that mistake. Dolly would be disappointed in me.
It's all right. No, she wouldn't. She'd forgive you.
Yeah, she actually would.
She'd forgive you.
She would.
She'd say, that's okay, darling.
She'd just give me a big old hug.
Pinch her cheek, at least.
Yeah.
They're in the happiest place on Earth, and they signed up to come here and try to take over this debacle we have here, this trash heap. My God, let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. This segment is brought to you by the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. Visit g3helpme.com or call them at 865-558-8030 if you or a loved one has been injured in an accident. You're going to want the best people to represent you. You're going to try to get the money you deserve. G. Turner Howard III will not take any money if he does not win you any money in your case. So again, if you or a loved one has been injured, visit g3helpme.com. Hayden, you got some Tennessee football, maybe some news?
Donnie do the horn?
No. This isn't breaking. This is just a report right now.
Okay, says this comes from John Bryce. Says, sounds like Vol football is finalizing details and logistics to host an open practice Saturday morning inside Neyland Stadium beginning around 10 a.m.
So you're wanting to do an open practice this Saturday?
Yep.
Is this like an attempt to try to like get some positive discussions around the program?
Yes.
Like, hey, guys, come here. Watch this offense. This is going to be we might not win any more games, but, like, it's at least going to be more fun to watch Tennessee in 2021.
Yeah, there we go. Let's all get real excited, some positivity with Brian Maurer running out there. I think that'll really get everybody in the right spirits.
Well, I was more so just thinking, like, the offense throws the ball down the field and, like, has
open
receivers.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but, you know, that's not going to work. We're just going to sit there and be like, oh, boy.
I don't know if Hendon Hooker is going to move the needle either, and I've seen enough of Harrison Bailey to know that he's not going to move
the
needle.
That's my point, though. Like, none of these guys are going to get us excited, so how's an open spring practice with a team that's not going to be that good going to help anything?
Hey,
if anything, it's probably going to make things worse.
Hey, guys, it's not great, but you got to be honest, it looks a little better than you thought it would, right? Like, that's going to be the selling point there.
Well, I'm not buying it, okay? I'm not buying that.
Hey, it's a little better than you thought it was going to be. Brian Maurer, looking healthy out there. That seems like a quick turnaround, though, Hayden, right? I mean, to try to get this ready by Saturday?
I guess.
We were, what, 3 weeks away from the orange and white game?
Yeah, the orange and white game's the 24th.
So what is that, two Saturdays from now? This Saturday.
This Saturday's the 10th.
This
so
Saturday
two
and then two.
Yeah.
2.5 weeks away.
Yeah.
A little bit of a panic move, John?
I don't know if it's a panic move. I think it's a – I mean, I would like to know the reason for it, but I would imagine it's just like, hey, we got to get some – because, I mean, I was talking with my friend yesterday about it. Like, I think it's the least people have talked about spring practice around here ever. Unless, like, am I missing it? Like, is there – are there other people out here extensively covering spring practice? Like, I have barely even seen any practice reports.
No.
I know we haven't really hit it, but am I missing anything? Are other people, like, hammering this home? Do people care?
No.
I haven't seen anybody really ask.
The only thing people were talking about is the bad stuff.
Yeah.
But no, that's like from actual practice, though, right? Like, I mean,
no, all it is just like the stupid stuff we're doing off the field.
Like, the only thing I've seen is like people are like, oh, wait, you're wearing a bra. Our players are wearing bras now. Like, I saw that story. But that's about it.
Yeah. And there are some people that break down every minuscule detail about who's running with the ones during the 3-minute practice video they put out every day.
I just don't know how much that matters right now. You know, you have the college basketball early, way too early top 25s or whatever. Everyone puts out their top 25s for next year. Like, in college basketball, that seems impossible to do right now. We don't know where the hell, like, half these, you know, any of these transfers are going. What does it matter, a top 25? I mean, I get, like, if you just say, hey, we assume Gonzaga and Kentucky and Duke's going to be good next year. Okay, I guess, but, like, you're already kind of setting the tone. Tennessee not getting much love at all in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 way too early top 25s that Ryan Shumpert over at on campus put together. The highest Tennessee ranked. Have you seen this? Have you seen these numbers?
I haven't seen it yet.
The highest we rank is?
No, probably like 19.
15?
20. Good job by you, Hayden.
No.
CBS Sports has Tennessee at number 20. ESPN has Tennessee at number 26. USA Today has Tennessee at number 22. Non-ranked in Stadium. Non-ranked in Andy Katz. Non-ranked in The Athletic. Sports Illustrated said 20th as well. But you're trying to project that stuff. Like, we don't. Like, what if Tennessee gets two more impact transfers? Like, I mean, they'll be a top 25 team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can say that for any other team, too. Like, I mean, if you get, you know, some good impact freshmen or impact transfers, excuse me.
And Kentucky lost, like, one of their starters yesterday, too.
They lost that guard now, right? The Askew guy?
Askew guy, yeah.
They've lost a lot already. Like, Askew was raked over the coals this year for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was always what they talked about whenever Tennessee played, was that, you know, they're really hard on that Devin Askew guy. And he was already a reclassified guy, right? Wasn't he supposed to be just a high school senior?
That's what I thought.
And he'd reclassified.
Yeah, he did. Says he reclassified, yep.
It's a thing that sounds good in theory if it works out well, but if it doesn't work out well and you struggle, mm-hmm. you're yelling at a 17-year-old kid or, you know, maybe just turned 18. And, you know, he was not good for them this year to be a highly rated guy. Like, he wasn't good. From California, we'll see where he goes. Maybe he... It's like, hey, UCLA seems fun. My boy Johnny Juzang.
Worked out for him.
We'll get a little. I don't know if Juzang will be back next year. He kind of played himself into some first round conversation. But, you know, maybe ask him, like, hey, UCLA, that team's gonna have a lot back. I'll go play there. Go back home.
Yeah.
Which I know Sacramento's not LA, but you get the point.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy to me how Cal's entire team dynamic is going to shift from, let's just say, Grant's senior year with Hero and all those guys that were younger, Keldon Johnson. I think P.J. Washington was a sophomore, but still, all the younger guys. And now it seems like he's going to go straight, just scrap that. We're going to go all grad transfers. And it might work.
That might be what Kentucky has to do from now on. I mean, like you're saying, like, because, I mean, like, when's the last big time one and done he's had? I mean, like we've talked about that in the past, you know, when Kentucky was struggling, but you know, they haven't had the top five draft picks really lately.
Yeah.
At least the ones that like were transcendent that you knew were gonna be stars in the NBA. Like that hasn't really happened. So yeah. That might be the way that all these schools do now. Like, yeah, we can still get the freshman one and done guys. We can still get our handful of there, but like, you know, those guys aren't really coming in ready to play. Not all of them are. Like there's a learning curve there. And maybe like it's the idea of bringing them all together is antiquated. Maybe now it's like, hey, we'll take all the good transfers, not even grad transfers, just all the good transfers. You played good somewhere else, okay, come here.
Yeah. And I was listening a little bit to the drive yesterday, and our friend TJ, the Kentucky fan, called in, and he said that Kentucky potentially has like two or three freshmen on the team next year. That's it. Looking at their roster, like that's just crazy to me.
Seems wild. But, I mean, like, you know, if you looked at – you saw Arkansas win that way.
For sure.
Arkansas went to, what, the Elite Eight that way?
Yeah.
Just taking, I mean, all transfers? Saying, hey, we'll try it this way.
And regardless of their quality of play from the year before, because, like, they took their J.D. Notte, I believe he was a Sun Freshman of the Year, something like that, but just like a step down in competition, but could still contribute to that team. I think he was their sixth man.
Point was, it's hard to project what happens in college basketball right now. These way too early top 25s are in fact way, way too early. But the point was also like, it's impossible to like really know what this team's going to look like in this fall either. So like, I mean, Tennessee wants to come out and just show, hey, we're going to do a couple new things and we'll let you see what Josh Heupel does. I guess that's a good thing for Danny White to try to do, because, again, there's no positive conversation around this program right now. So if they are going to do an open practice, I don't think anything negative will come out of it. Like, what's the worst that can happen? Team looks bad? I think everyone knows the team's going to be bad next year.
Defense is going to look bad, that's for sure. Go ahead and expect that.
So, I mean, I think everyone is already prepared for that, no?
Yeah, I'm not even going to give this a second thought this weekend.
What about attendance? What do you think? You think there's going to be still a lot of people wanting to watch them?
Well, I was wondering about that because it's a short turnaround, but I was wondering if that would be like a trial run or at least try to like get people thinking about coming to the Orange and White game.
Yeah.
You come out there, you're like, oh, this was fun. We'll come back. Because, I mean, like the spring game, for better or worse, and maybe it won't be this year with the pandemic, like we're even allowing like full capacity. I mean, like.
I'm sure it will.
Let 100,000 in. I mean, I know you're not going to get 100,000. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying, like, are they going to try to be like, hey, there's a cap here? If Tennessee was smart, they'd say we're capping it at 25,000. Because there's not going to be more than 25 or 30,000 that come. So, like, if Tennessee was smart, they would cap it. That way you could sell it. That way, like, because, you know, it's always the reported figures. Like, hey, here's how many people are here, blah, blah, blah. Like, you would want to be like, hey, no, we would have had more. People are excited about Heupel, but we only wanted 25,000 in. That's what they should do.
What's the most they've had? I mean, like 50? Or so, like
we had 60 here. Or reported 60 for Butch's like second year.
Yeah,
I think so, it was Butch's second year.
I'd say the max you'll get this year is 30 to 40.
I mean, if that.
Yeah. But the thing about putting a cap on is you're gonna have to do tickets and probably gonna make people pay for them, and one is usually free, right?
I mean, I think you just call it a cap
and just not give tickets. Just like,
it's actually okay, but we're calling it a cab. Like, yeah. But I guess you're right. Like, I guess there would be some legal stuff you'd probably have to do there. So, yeah, maybe not. But it'll be fascinating to see.
Because you usually don't have to have a ticket for the Orange and White game. You just walk in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Texas. Any thoughts on Texas yesterday? Full ballpark?
It's great.
Looked good.
Looks good, right?
Yeah.
Got the juices flowing.
Get you excited.
I'm ready for UFC later this month. I want to see what that's like.
Yeah.
That'll be cool.
Let's go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Following up yesterday's cat beating story, Tennessee, they made a statement about it yet. I haven't seen anything from Danny White or anybody or Heupel, but.
Yep, the UT Athletics, they did come out with a statement. They said that we have received the incident report from the Knoxville Police Department. Aaron Beasley has been suspended indefinitely from all football team activities as we await further information.
Mm. So at least they're investigating it.
Yep.
Did you read the story in The Athletic about it?
They wrote a story in The Athletic?
Well, David Ubbin, you know, yeah, David Ubbin tracked down the one who filed, or who I guess made the GoFundMe.
Yeah.
Tracked her down to talk to her.
Any other insight on it?
It's very odd stuff, man.
Really?
Just very odd stuff. I mean, it's just... The cat apparently had, I guess, gotten into their food. The guy's wings, apparently. Hmm. So, like, it's all so weird. Like, basically, Kaylee Scarborough is the name. Arrived at her apartment Thursday morning and discovered Nugget, her cat, laying underneath her dresser. She couldn't get her out. Like, the cat was in pain. Like, you know, when animals are in pain, they'll bite you or, like, meow or bark at you if you try to, like, get them and they're hiding. So, like, basically the right. cat was hiding. So then she noticed, well, my cat can't walk. My cat can't move. So then her other roommate walked up and was like, hey, I just remembered. I was in bed around 11 or 10, and all I heard was my other roommate screaming, no, Aaron, please, you can't do that. No, Aaron, please. And then started crying, and then she heard my cat Nugget squeal like 3 times. And then heard someone else saying, you can't do that. And then there's some text messages. Don't say this, please, but he told me he put Nugget in the toilet last night after he ate all our food. Thank you. I am kind of livid with him. Says Zoe, who I believe was
her roommate.
Yeah, and also, was it the girlfriend in the situation? Cause,
yes.
Yeah, like this That's isn't, the cat isn't his girlfriend's. The cat is the roommate's.
Right.
Hmm.
In the toilet, man?
Apparently, I guess he was trying to drown the cat. I don't know if we're just trying to, it's like, hey, cats hate water, I'm going to torture
Over
this cat.
Over some wings? What are we doing?
Apparently, they had left Zoe's bedroom door open with a box of wings sitting out, and Nugget had gotten into the wings.
Okay, so time out. It's a...
She also said that Nugget was held up by his tail and ended up in the toilet with the lid shut. So he put him in the toilet and shut the lid, according to the accusations from Nugget's mom.
It's a, 4-month-old cat, we said? 6 months old, whatever it is? I know that cat is not eating wings, man. He had to maybe licked it or did
something.
That's what
I was
going to say. He's not munching on the wings. The wings weren't gone when he got back. They weren't all eaten. Like, that is not how it works.
Could have been nibbled on.
I mean,
there's no way he's going to eat all those wings.
No. Well, no, he didn't eat the whole thing, but he could have gotten in the food. And some people don't want to eat after pets, man. Like,
well, and I understand that. I get that.
To some people, if the cat's gotten, even licked or bit one of the wings, like, they're not going to eat all of them. Like, I mean, there's no 5-second rule for people, especially if it's not their pet. And I'm not eating after my dog either. He's eaten a part of my sandwich before, and I had to, rip half of it off and only eat half of it. But, man, it does make you mad. Frank's got me a couple times.
Him.
Yeah, I'll go to Chick-fil-A, and then there was one time I had my bag in there, and I had to run and go into the store or something. I came back out, and he had ripped it open, gotten into it. I was like, you don't have any teeth, Frank. How'd you do this?
He's and just so you just punted him up against the wall?
No, I didn't, because I love my pet, and I'm a rational, well-adjusted human being that wouldn't, do that to somebody.
Did you waterboard him in the toilet?
I thought about it, but I didn't, and I had urges. I do cuss at him a lot. Not loud, like that TikTok girl. Remember they canceled that TikTok girl?
Yeah. Well, she was a YouTuber, right?
It was all about her and her dog, and then they caught her on camera beating the dog afterwards, pushing him off and doing stuff. I don't do that. I just curse at him every now and then, damn it, Frank.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm sure my neighbors hear me, especially when I'm taking him out, yelling, damn it, Frank, come on, a lot, because he's stubborn. He's the boss. But I don't pun him. I just say, damn it, Frank. He could have easily said, damn it, Nugget. What are you doing? Get out of my chicken, Nuggets.
Let me ask you.
It's not his dog or his cat, though.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Wow, that's even worse.
Wouldn't you be more mad at the owner of the pet for just kind of leaving him out and about?
No, I'd be mad at you. I'd say, close your bedroom door.
That's what I'm saying. You'd be more mad at the pet's owner than the pet.
I would say, I don't know what their living dynamic is, but I know having pets, if you have a 4-bedroom apartment, and you try to shut the dog or cat in that one room, the cat's going to claw or scratch, and the dog's going to bark. The dog, I've lived with roommates before. My dog wants to sit on the couch. He won't mess with their stuff usually. Again, if they have food sitting down, he might get that. But the rule kind of there was hey, roommate, if you don't want him in your room, just make sure you shut the door when you leave. And this person had left her door open, where the food was at.
Yeah.
Beasley and Beasley's girlfriend or whatever, the door was open and the cat went and got their food. Again, I understand you don't want people messing with your stuff, but, it's normal behavior around animals to be hey, just close your door. He won't mess with anything. Not everyone freaks out about a pet being around.
Yeah.
Hey, he's going to go in there and sniff or try to say what's up to you if you leave your door open. But if you shut it, he won't go in there. Phillips told the police the cat eating the food has been a constant issue. So I guess Nugget has a bad habit of eating people's food, according to Phillips. Huh. Yeah, no, the athletic writer. I mean, it's sick stuff. Like, to put it in the toilet and close the lid?
My God.
Did he, like, break its tail, too, or something?
Broke its tail.
How does that happen? How do you break a cat's tail?
I think it had kidney failure, brain damage. I mean, the cat, again, you know, the cat's really messed up. And, like, you know, this might sound wrong. I don't know if I don't want it to sound like I'm a monster or anything, but, like, I would be more willing to excuse him or be like, you know what, anger got him or whatever, if he just, like, kicked the cat once.
Yeah.
Like, if he just, like, kicked it, like, hey, get away, shoot, and kicked it, and it got hurt. Like, you kicked the cat, you kicked it too hard, you hurt its ribs, whatever. Like, again, not good, but, like, I would be like, there's maybe more to the story. Like, that's an accident, maybe kicked too hard. I don't know. But you tell me you put it in the toilet and shut the lid, like, that's psychotic behavior.
It's abuse.
No, that's definitely trying to kill it.
Kicking the cat's abuse, too, but, and again, it's a little bit more defensible for me, or at least, like, hey, maybe he's not a psycho. Like, maybe don't kick him on the team just for kicking a cat. Because, I mean, I've seen people kick their dogs before, like, hey, get out of here, and, like, maybe kick them too hard. I don't know. But when you tell me you put it in the toilet and shut the lid on it, and you're trying to drown it, you bypass, like, hey, there's maybe a misunderstanding here, and you're like, no, this guy's a creep, a psycho.
That was all one exchange, like, toilet, beating him up. It was all just one time.
That's the way the Athletic made it read, was okay. That. Was that it? Was,
I didn't know if this was, like, an ongoing thing. And
so he just always does this poor cat?
Yeah, I mean, yikes.
Yeah. Yeah. So Tennessee has suspended him as we investigate the cat abuse. Never stops here. Hour one of the books, hour two on deck. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.